News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It's 8:07, and we have some special guests in the studio to talk about. Well, we've been talking golf, but we're not going to keep on talking about golf. We're going to eventually shift it over.
I've really loved listening to the stories from our own Dan Brennan and Killer Bees, who's joining us in studio this morning.
Terry Bees is here too.
And Terry Bees, man, I've just been over here listening. You guys have quite the history. I love it.
We were. You know, I hate to throw the word trendsetters around, yet I will. And so we were quite an entity. That tournament literally just still sticks out as one of the coolest things that we were able to pull off on such a huge scale.
Yeah,
that was the cool thing about it.
Yeah.
All the pieces fell into place. And so it was really, really neat to have that.
And what
are
the chances
success?
That everything was going to come together that way?
Zero.
That
never happens these days.
My former radio partner Shelby and Terry Bees, and then when we pulled, I don't want to say where it was. There is some controversy on where this tournament happened. I remember one place, but
part of that is the gag order. As well,
the NDA,
yeah. But as we pulled up to the clubhouse to start go to the driving range, and then it was like we looked at each other like the crowds are already here,
right. And you know, the best thing that happened there, one of the best, was when corporate, my lovely wife Terry, when corporate suggested we have people work in the parking lot. Remember that? Otherwise, it would have been chaos.
Well,
this was before they had stripes in parking lots.
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
And
I'm glad they've advanced that far.
Yeah, so that made a big difference.
I don't remember if I broke 80 that day or not. Do you remember how well I played or not well?
Let me say, we were talking about the front nine, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You remember my game well. Anyway, Killer, thanks for coming on in.
Yeah, hey, buddy. A legendary event we're still talking about. So Maximus, by the way, got a big traffic issue this morning.
Oh, wow.
And then we'll get into our conversation with Killer Bees. I-10 eastbound completely closed right now at 90, so that at that government exit. I-10 eastbound at 90 completely closed due to severe wreck. He said we're going to be here at least a few hours. So if you're heading eastbound, find a way to get around there. I-10 eastbound at 90. It looks like that's going to be an issue, and we'll keep you updated on that throughout the morning.
Well, terrible wreck, and it's going to really just jam up all the corridors. When you figure out how to go, you're not the only one, so just get ready for delays no matter where you are.
So, Killer, got a big show, an awesome show coming up this weekend, and for a great cause.
Right. I am actually performing this Saturday night at Revive Church of Mobile. That's our home church here in town. And it's a benefit concert for Ryan's Refuge and also our church's homeless outreach programs. So it is going to be this Saturday. The show is at 6:30, 5:30 is when the doors open. Tickets are available and info at killerbees.com, BEAZ, because we didn't know any better. And it's going to be a great show, man. I'm bringing my opening act, Dan Whitehurst, down from Nashville.
Okay.
He's a quarter century veteran of stand-up. He's a national headliner and a dear friend, and as a man with a really good heart. So he's doing the show with me, and it'll be our full-fledged stand-up show.
Do you think he'll be able to handle the bright lights of Mobile?
I do believe so.
Okay.
Coming
from a small town and a small comedy town like Nashville, which is now the epicenter almost of comedy, it seems.
Well, it is the world headquarters of bachelorette parties.
Yeah, we know that.
By the way.
Killer, you working up in Nashville a lot?
This, man. On July 30th, I will do my 26th Grand Ole Opry appearance.
Wow.
So for people, just my little history, I started my stand-up career in Jackson, Mississippi, and in 1984, Zany's Comedy Club, one of the premier clubs in the country, brought me to Nashville and managed me for several years, and that's where I popped, was in Nashville. So I've done more shows at Zany's Comedy Club Nashville than anybody in the history of that showroom.
Wow.
So I have a long history in Nashville, and it's really cool. I did all the CMT shows and TNN back in the day.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool these days to become a regular at the Opry.
That's a really neat thing. It's an honor.
That's awesome. My parents who met at Belmont had an apartment right next to the club.
Okay.
And this was back early 90s, I want to say. They may correct me. So back when comedy was still a big deal, but I don't think as many comedians are on a first-name basis with their audience as they are today, you are. And so many people follow you, and if they see you're on the billing, then they're going to show up and go. And it's so awesome, the career you've made. Do you feel when you perform at the Opry, when you're on that little part of the stage that is part of the old stage,
that circle,
can you feel the energy, the power from all of the past? Does it give you a little extra boost performing up there?
It totally does. And not only just standing in that 100-year-old circle, you know, this year's the 100th anniversary, and this piece of wood is a circle is about 10 feet around from the original stage from the Ryman. It is so old, man, it's actually soft.
Huh.
It's kind of squishy when you stand on it. But the whole ambiance of being in that building is amazing. The backstage is electric. It seats 4,000 people.
4,000?
4,000 people, a little over 4,000. And it is three-tiered in front of the stage, and it is a wall of people there. And it's a bucket list destination for folks. People spend a lot of money, a lot of time to come to the Grand Ole Opry, and they want everybody on that show to do well. It is the most receptive, fun audience in the world. It's the only gig I do where I don't do show prep.
Wow.
And one of those reasons is they'll send me an email, okay, Beast, be here at so-and-so, you'll go on at so-and-so. I'm in the last half. It's a two-section show. They have an intermission. I'm in the second half, either right before the headliner or two before, because I can adjust my set in 30-second increments. And it's a broadcast show. They have to hit, as y'all know, hard breaks.
Yep.
For commercials, the singers have to do their full 3-minute song, but I can adjust my performance. And they'll send me an email saying, okay, we need 11 minutes.
Hmm.
And so I'll go in, I'll get there, we'll go in the artist entrance, I'll make it to my dressing room, and they go, all right, Bees, we need 9 minutes.
Yep.
So there goes my notes.
That's right. And also, do you adjust it to what you've heard previously, like what some of the other comics are doing, if it relates to what you want to do, or does that make any difference?
Not really. Makes no difference, because I'm the only comic on the show when I'm there. You know, they only have one that they have on the show. But then it'll be 2 minutes before I go on stage. I'm in the wings, and they go, all right, you got to do 11 minutes.
Yeah.
and they'll say, okay, now there's a clock on the back of the room. I'm like, well, how am I going to see this clock without my bifocals on at the back of the room? And then do math. Okay, I went up at 8:45.
Yeah.
Let me see, how much is 11 minutes? So what I do, this is my secret weapon. The orchestra, they have a big orchestra, is right behind me on stage. I have the piano player keep up with the time. When I have 1 minute left, that player will hit a single note that comes through just the floor monitor in front of me.
Ah.
And I'm the only one that can hear it. And then I know I have 60 seconds left to wrap it up.
That's cool.
So it is such an honor to do it. I've done it twice with Jelly Roll.
That's awesome.
And so it is really a fun thing. So July 30th, y'all, appearance number 26. So y'all come on.
If you can plan it out, that sounds like something you just can't miss.
It is great, man.
That's awesome. But speaking of themes throughout your career, coming back and helping out. I mean, we've had you in and talked about several things you've done in the past to help out the community. And again, this show this weekend is a big deal, not just because you get to see Killer Bees do his thing and your opener as well, but tell us a little more about Ryan's Refuge and this charity we would be.
Right. You know, and I'll say this about our church. My wife and I started going there a little over 4 years ago, and really changed my life. I've been so blessed not knowing it during my career, and having changed my life and having the proper walk now with God, things have just flourished and blossomed. And I, you know, the Bible talks about eyes to see and ears to hear. That's a real thing. I see so much more and absorb so much more now than I used to when it was all about me, me, me.
And so, but you've always been a great observer, so that says a lot, that it's kind of expanded your whole
I got those blinders taken off, you know, and a walk of faith is such a life-changing thing. And it's not boring. You don't have to reel it in. You just have to go the right direction. So we do a lot of homeless outreach from our church. Once a month, we will go to different communities and feed people and just hang with people and say prayers over people that need it. And Ryan's Refuge was founded by a gentleman, Eric Overstreet, who was in yesterday on Sean's show.
Right.
And they have... He has spent time with the homeless community. Last year, he spent 90 days on the streets with them. He's he knows them, and he
walking a mile,
walking
in their
correct,
shoes,
man. And he's able to get people off the street, a place to live, helps them detox, helps them learn and relearn how to become integrated back into society. You know, a lot of these folks that have been on the streets have been homeless for several years. They need an ID. They lose all their identity, kind of. And so he helps them go through the steps of regaining their ID, their Social Security card, all these things. And it's kind of a teaching and growing faith-based
faith element to it
place,
as well,
place for them to get off the streets and get back on track with their lives. And that is such a benevolent and wonderful endeavor that it is on Terry and I's heart to be a part of that and to help, because we've been really blessed in spite of myself, you know.
In spite of our golf tournament, was completely illegal.
We just went on so many levels.
Circumvented the law with that thing.
Correct. And we've not really checked the statute of limitations on that, Dan. So we should. So anyway, what little we can do means a lot to others. So
that's awesome.
This concert Saturday night, the proceeds will go to Ryan's Refuge and also to our homeless outreach at Revive Church.
Where's Revive Church located?
It is, well, I'm glad you asked that. It is on Ziegler Circle. It's the road. It's a horseshoe-shaped road that is across the street from the fairground.
Okay.
You know that funeral home that's across
the street?
Yes,
I do.
The road that turns in beside it is Ziegler Circle.
Okay.
And it makes a horseshoe. We're in the turn of the horseshoe on the inside of the turn of that road. And so we're wanting and planning a silent auction to go with it. And so we do need donations from businesses, from individuals for items we can have on the silent auction.
Okay.
And it is a it's going to be one. It's just going to be a great show. I'll say that. And the there are tickets available at killerbees.com. That is B-E-A-Z, because we did not know any better. And it is this Saturday night. Doors open at 5:30. Show is at 6:30. And it's a good show. Y'all will love Dan Whitehurst.
Yeah.
He is a bone crusher. He's a retired police detective.
Wow.
That has all these great police stories, for one thing, about days and things that went on before body cameras.
It's kind of like Cops on Broadway, like the live action cop show, but on stage.
Right.
You get a little bit
of
that
actually.
A very funny guy.
So it is a really good show like that. And now the lovely Miss Terry Corpins, we call her. Did I leave anything out, my dear?
She says no.
Giving you the head shake now.
What was that? Oh, okay. Yes, I have the best wife in the world. Got you,
hey,
honey.
Killer, it's
nicely done.
It's great to see both of you after all these years. Oh, I guess you were in our studio not too long ago. It might have been for the same reasons, maybe the last 3 years or so.
Yeah, for sure. We've had Killer Bees on before. And I, just by the way, went to your website. It is really easy. If you go to killerbees, B-E-A-Z.com, and you have your tour schedule there. So just go to the Revive Church one, get tickets. And I was right there and right on the purchase ticket page. So very easy to do that. If someone is wanting to help out with one of those silent auction items, do you recommend they get in touch with you in a different way, or can they find you on Killer?
You can email at bees@killerbees.com.
Okay.
And we welcome any kind of donations and anything that folks can do on that regard as well. So, and one more thing, I got to say this real quick on a different note. We're in season 15 of the Discovery Channel hit series Moonshiners.
Amazing.
That's the one I was thinking about. That's the one I wanted to bring up. You're on Moonshiners.
Right. It is season 10 for me.
Okay.
So, you know, it would have never dawned on me that I would learn how to make moonshine. I can build a still, I can mash in. I can do the run, and so that amazes me. My pastor is so proud. Pastor Brown, I have this distinction of making the prayer list on Sunday morning for 10 years in a row. It is the world record.
Praying for Killer Bees. Thanks for dropping by, and great to see you. And Terry,
love you, man. Good to see you.
Love you too, brother. Great to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
822.
Yeah, more Mobile Mornings on the way. 251-343-0106. A lot of love for Killer Bees on the text line. Anything else you got to say, let us know there. By the way, quick traffic update. Maximus says I-10 eastbound has two lanes flowing now. The wreck is on the shoulder, so I-10 eastbound at least partially moving.
On the text line this morning, 251-343-0106. A reaction to Killer Bees, of course. Unnamed texter, what a great interview with Killer Bees. Unnamed texter, save up. That's one of his lines. He didn't hit us with that this morning. And how about the stories of the Grand Ole Opry?
That was awesome.
It was really so cool. Thanks again to Killer Bees.
Yeah, Jason says Bees has some great Skinnerd stories. If y'all have time, we'll have to have him in just to talk some stories. And we would have to first talk about all of your stories, get together, then get into some of the Killer Bees stories.
He was always such a pleasure to be around. And he reminded us that he used to be a first responder years ago, and he said, just be patient there on I-10. There's a lot of things those first responders have got to be responsible for. There's a lot going on there where they're trying to make it safe for you to pass, so just be careful in that area. And he was just looking at it from a first responder's point of view.
Yeah, and I think Kane said there in the traffic update, fatal accident. So as we hear more, we'll try to get it to you before the end of Mobile Mornings. But obviously, it will be a very sad morning for some folks around here. So keep that in mind, too. That's hard for me to keep in mind sometimes also when I'm waiting in traffic. There's been an accident. Now, usually it's the tunnel and a weekend, so I have full right to be PO'd that I'm sitting there. But sometimes, you know, you get kind of selfish and you're sitting there in traffic and you've stop thinking about the people at the very front of that
people
and why people
injured,
are stopped.
Yeah. And in this case, killed.
So Iran, Israel, of course, that's the big story. And what happens next? What will Trump do? I know what Lindsey Graham wants Trump to do. He's made that pretty clear. And
Lindsey wants to blow up Canada.
Pretty clear a bunch of times. Here was some from Graham yesterday on Fox.
I would like to see this regime fall, but I'm going to leave it up to the president as to what to do and when to do it. But I do know this. If we don't take out their nuclear program now, we'll all regret it. We're very close. Be all in, Mr. President, in helping Israel finish the job. And let's see where we're at after we neutralize their nuclear program.
So he was answering that actually in response basically to what about U.S. troops? And Lindsey Graham answered it in a fashion where, you know, he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. Let me play it one more time because I missed that context. Basically, he was asked, so do we need to take care of this, whatever it takes, get rid of this nuclear program?
Right. I would like to see this regime fall, but I'm going to leave it up to the president as to what to do and when to do it. But I do know this. If we don't take out their nuclear program now, we'll all regret it. We're very close. Be all in, Mr. President, in helping Israel finish the job. And let's see where we're at after we neutralize their nuclear program.
So be all in. And that can mean different things to different people. You know, there are certainly folks in the highest parts of government that, while they politically can't say it, they wouldn't mind some boots on the ground to finish the objective.
There's GOP members that are appalled by that, too. Just like, we can't do that. And let's talk about that and also get some help from the text line on what your opinion is, what's next.
Yeah, and Ted Cruz getting into it with Tucker Carlson, too. Hey, thank you, Kane. Right now it's 8:00. 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And we head over to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine here at Airport and I-65. And I know over there on Dolphin, east of 65, you guys have it popping this morning at McConnell Automotive. What can people expect if they come by today?
I mean, you say popping. We just uncut. We were doing a PDI on a brand new truck that just got here, and it's got a beehive underneath the hood.
No.
So we're not going to be messing with that truck right now. But man, we got some great deals here. We got great trucks here. We got those 3/4 ton sitting over there. Got GM certified cars. Got plenty of those trucks here. We bought a few this week, so they'll be out there. Got a couple of AT4 Yukons here. Got a Range Rover, a couple of BMWs. I'm sitting there looking. We've got a great selection of used. You can check all that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
And remind folks, that GM certified gives you quite a bit of security on that vehicle you take home from McConnell. 12-12, right?
That's right. 12-12 bumps the powertrain up to 100,000 miles, and the powertrain is whatever touches oil. Hmm. So that's basically what it is, and it's a great deal here. Come see us. We're right off I-65 on Dolphin Street, beautiful Midtown Mobile, Alabama.
It's that easy. Thank you, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
Go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website that has all the vehicles up there, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Pretty easy picking our number one of our three big things this morning.
It was. And let me just update with this traffic information.
Sure.
It is a big deal this morning, I-10 eastbound. As I see Jimmy texting in, can you find out what's going on? Some of you just now tuning in had a bad accident, I-10 eastbound, I guess right there at 90, so at that exit. And there's a ton of law enforcement and other emergency vehicles down there. Maximus told us that I believe they're at least moving a lane or two through now on I-10 eastbound. The wreck is on the shoulder, but that is a bad accident. So if you're going 10 eastbound, you're going to run into some issues as things kind of slowly move through. Jimmy said, I got off of the interstate on 90, and they even have the entrance exit blocked to the interstate. So work will continue there on I-10 eastbound until they get this cleared up and safe. But that's what's going on this morning.
Trump leaves the G7 summit early. Then by Tuesday morning, he's in the Situation Room in Washington, D.C. at the White House. And it's coming down to what's his decision going to be right now with our capabilities. Of course, that would take us becoming part of the war if we want to take the steps to neutralize the nuclear elements that they've got. Iran's got in a side of a mountain or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know it would take a lot of our bunker busters, is that what they're called?
Yeah, and the only thing that can drop it is the B-2 stealth.
We're the only game in town. So
yeah.
It's like, okay, what about put out the fire? Who's got the fire truck? United States of America. So Israel doesn't own anything like this, though I think they've wanted something like this for a long time. They don't own anything like this. So now the question is, to me, is, okay, Israel's done an amazing job of this execution and taking out the leadership, and it's been like Hollywood script.
Yeah, and what's Iran doing on social media? I mean, and they're making threats on Twitter, which it's funny if you think where we stood online early Biden, mid-Biden administration, where, remember, they were kicking everyone off of some of the social media sites except for, like, the Ayatollah.
Yep.
He would come on every now and then and say just terrible things about America.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
They're still tweeting, and they're making threats that they're not following up on. It's like yesterday, and the whole world is on edge, and they say the world, something along the lines of the world will remember what we do tonight, and everyone waited, and nothing happened. I guess they lobbed another 30 missiles or so at Israel, and very few of them made it through the defenses.
Yeah, and Israel's wiping out a lot of the missiles on the ground, which is a big part of all this. So it's the center of all of this is that site where you've got the either the nukes or the nukes that they're making many feet deep into this side of a mountain or whatever, and it would take a lot of thunder power for us to be able to eradicate it. And
if we can,
if we can, and if we did with those bombs, what would be the what would the environment be like?
What would the fallout be?
What would that nuclear fallout be like? What would that mean? Would we go down in history as these the terrible power hungry nation that did the wrong thing?
Mm.
So here's what Trump's weighing.
Has that stopped us before?
Well, here you go. But he's got a lot of people saying, let's not do that. He's got a lot of GOP members saying, let's not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other option, I think, would be kind of wait it out. If they're compromised, can you get a surrender out of them? Where then the Israelis could just walk into the, walk down the stairs, get to it, and neutralize it. I mean, you'd have to get a complete surrender from Iran.
Yeah, and it would have to be apparently someone other than the Ayatollah in control, because that's the most recent thing he said, is that they won't ever surrender Iran. He said that overnight. And, of course, that is a big part of this conversation, too. Netanyahu's been ready to off Khamenei forever. And
calls him the modern-day Hitler.
Even more so now, to the point where he was, I guess they said, asking Trump for permission to assassinate Khamenei the other day. And then you had Trump's Truth Social post yesterday where he said, we know where we are. We know exactly where you are, and it would be easy to get rid of you. And then he wrote in parentheses, kill.
We don't have evidence that they can do that, because they did it. They've done it to 6 or 7 already.
And I think, like you said, you can kind of take your time now, and I don't know how much time Trump has before he needs to make a decision. I imagine at least some of this is waiting until all of our assets are in position right around Iran and in the important places we need them. But also, Israel's done such a bang-up job of getting in there and taking control of the situation for the most part that Trump does have, I think, a little time. It's not a tit-for-tat war, even though they are kind of tit-for-tatting. It's just Israel. When they hit Iran, they hit him with so much more force than Iran is able to hit Israel with. I think Trump does have a little bit of time to make a final decision on how he wants to go about this. But I think what you're saying, too, is something that a lot of these people aren't thinking about, even though you should, is what does happen if you blow up that bunker? What is the fallout? And I want to play this big conversation, and it was just a preview, I guess, of Tucker Carlson's interview with Ted Cruz that they will post today. But you have 92 million people in Iran, as you're about to hear Tucker say. If that becomes, and it's already a terrible, I'm saying that, and maybe it's not entirely true. It's a terrible regime to live under in Iran. I don't know if I can say it's a terrible place to live, because we don't for the most part, don't know how some of the folks are living there.
And the level of dissatisfaction with that terrible regime is such that you have Israel's got a lot of moles or whatever, spies that are actually on the Iranian side. They're Iranian citizens who have helped Israel in a lot of ways, intelligence wise, and maybe otherwise.
So what if blowing up these bunkers and the Israeli military action there leads to a mass migration out of Iran?
Yeah.
And where do those folks go?
Where
do
they go?
As a country who's trying to completely shut down immigration in many ways like that, that's something that needs to be thought of too. But then you have your Lindsey Grahams. The Huckabee text to Trump was one of the strangest things I've seen yesterday.
That's the one he was saying, I'm sticking it out.
And he's kind of doing the hero thing, like, I'm going to stay here until the end of the world. But it's also almost like he's calling on this, this is biblical. Yeah. I know many of you on the text line text me that all the time. But it's kind of strange to have your Israeli ambassador, someone who is welcoming a war to end all wars, or at least that's kind of the thing that the Huckabee seems to be saying. But you have Ted Cruz, who is certainly, I'd say, more moderate than Huckabee, but wants to be involved in this. And this was pretty fiery. It was posted last night as a preview for the podcast, which comes out today. But here's Tucker and Ted Cruz getting after it when it comes to whether we should be on the offensive in Iran.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population
at all.
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country...
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
You don't know anything about Iran. So,
I am not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government.
You're the one who
claims anything about the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
I'm not saying that.
Who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani, and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. And if you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, you're breaking news here, because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting Israel.
High stakes. You're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is at war with Iran right now, people are listening.
Okay.
So quite the back and forth there between Cruz and Carlson.
Carlson's almost mocking him right there. He had the information that Cruz didn't have, and he pounced on him on that. And I guess we're supporting him in the way that defensively we're shooting some of the missiles out of the sky over Israel.
Right.
That's what the support has been to this point, I think, physically.
You had Trump also, who hopped on Truth Social and said, more or less, that we control the skies over Iran now. And there were people saying, what do you mean by we?
I know. I don't understand why he decided to take a bow on that when Israel's done all the work.
And once again, I'm kind of stuck in the middle on this whole thing. Because you have your Tucker Carlsons, and I love a lot of what Tucker has done over the years, but he is so staunchly against any sort of military action against Iran, and it seems for any reason, he is firmly in that camp, right? But then you have your Lindsey Grahams, your John Fettermans, which I hate grouping those two together because Fetterman is much more new to D.C.
Yeah.
And Graham's kind of a veteran at this game.
Yeah, he's a grandfather.
But both... willing to throw anything at this, just like Graham has been for any war in the Middle East. And I'm not there with them either. If now is the time, if this is the weakest Iran truly has been,
that's what they're saying.
It seems they can't do anything about the demolishment of their nuclear program, then maybe it is time to do it. But I'm still completely in the camp that I don't want to see U.S. boots on the ground at all. And if it can be done without the use of U.S. military at all, I think that would be better for our standing in the world as we negotiate with people around the world going forward. But I'm not Team Tucker, too. If there is a good chance to take out the worldwide sponsor of terrorism, at least that regime, and you have that chance now in the safest of conditions, the safest it'll get for you, as far as we know, then do it. But don't forget, Iran has kind of an ace in the hole, and that is their whole terrorism thing.
Yeah.
They're holding that back, at least to this point.
I thought that's what that threat was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not think that was what that threat meant, about last night?
I thought so. I thought that they were going to start hitting some places around the world. And to be honest with you, this was all going down as Christy Noem, the DHS secretary, was headed to the hospital. And until they said that she was just suffering from an allergic reaction and will be fine, that was my first thought, too, was, oh, look, they found a way to get to the DHS secretary. Yep. That ended up not being the case. But that's the kind of edge that people are on with this going on right now. What do you think? Do you want to see the bunker busters, or you want to see Israel take care of this? Dan, what are you thinking on this?
I'm thinking if we have them compromised, then if Israel's got them compromised, then if we can just be judicious and take our time, try to pressure to a surrender, maybe, that's the best case scenario to me, and the U.S. not having its fingerprints on something as dramatic as blowing up
a nuclear bunker.
Yeah. So that would be, what I'm thinking, but the Situation Room probably has gotten more facts than Dan. But the things I read and the things that I watch and listen to, people that seem to be really in the know about what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. Reporters who are on the ground over there or occasionally are in Iran, and people that really know the history of this whole battle. So they followed things up more closely up to this point. Therefore, I'm listening to what they've got to say, and I think they're a little cautious about us
getting that involved.
Right.
251-343-0106. Read this from Rock and Roll Doctor. I know a 60-plus-year-old from Iran who claims 75% of the population is pro-U.S./West, and I have a hard time believing the bunker busters are the only option. The people of Iran are one big event, possibly with U.S. intelligence, away from killing the Ayatollah themselves. And texter here, is the U.S. pondering getting involved because of our allegiance with Israel? Because Iran isn't supposed to be dealing with nukes? Because we want to eradicate Hamas, or another reason? Just seems like we are giving this a much stronger consideration than we did with the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. Curious to hear your thoughts.
Here's the thoughts. This was Brad, well, I can't play right now, but Brad Winstrom basically said what Trump's been posting on Truth Social in all caps, you know, no nukes. Mm-hmm. Iran can't
no
have
nuclear
a nuke.
Enrichment yeah. is their line now. And yeah. So no nukes at all and no nuclear enrichment at all. I think you'll ask different people in the government and they'll each agree with one of your reasons there, texter. Some want to get involved because of our allegiance with Israel. Some feel that Israeli bond is much stronger than just two governments that are cooperating with each other. They feel it's biblical, right?
Yeah, they do. And then just look at our level of respect for what they've done over the past week is like through the roof. Like, wow, if they've done all this heavy lifting, and there's a lot of those neighbors over there, too, that would never be considered pro-Israel, who are silently rooting them on.
And I do think a majority of people, the reason they want to get in and get in now is to dismantle the nuclear program. But remember what happened to Gaddafi. So you may have had an easier time kind of taking the nukes out of the hands of the Iranian regime if you didn't do the same thing to Gaddafi, who was then unceremoniously killed by his people right after he gave up those nukes. So anyone you negotiate with going further, probably not just going to give them up out of the good of their heart.
It's 8:52, Dan and Dalton. Maybe we'll talk to Jeff about this a little bit. We're going to talk to Jeff Poor momentarily, and then his show will come on a little after 9 o'clock. Morning from Dan and Dalton, 8:55. Going to talk to Jeff Poor here in just a moment.
Yeah, quick run through the texts. Jason says a military strategist on Fox yesterday said the bomb can be dropped using a C-130, which Israel can use itself. Ricky chiming in. Write this one down. Nukes are fake. CB Carl says, I can't help but notice that a lot of the people who want to say we are doing this don't seem to have any skin in the game. They seem to have no problem sending other people into harm's way. And Pete says, what's the confusion? Crazy people cannot be allowed to have nukes. I guess the confusion for a lot of people, Pete, is who and how do you go about getting rid of the nuclear program? 8:55, Jeff Poor Show coming up next, and we're joined by the man himself, Jeff Poor. Hey, Jeff.
Morning, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. So 1819 News, your lead story there, of course, that that's your website, Tuberville Wary of U.S. involvement in Iran. Talk about that a little bit and what that means.
I mean, it's a schism right now in the conservative movement, Republican Party. The assumption that Trump was adopting a different foreign policy approach from the previous Bush administration, and that's held true for the most part, but you're starting to see sort of maybe a little shift here. I don't know Israel. They felt the need to pull the trigger on this. How much should the U.S. be involved? But that's right now. You look at the Alabama delegation, and it seems like Katie Britt and Robert Atterhold are very very supportive. We are waiting to hear what Barry Moore is going to do. But Tommy Tuberville seems to be maybe not. It's not a stark contrast like say Tucker Carlson versus Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
But there are shades of gray there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to me. I guess it's good news that Tuberville has cleared the field for governor, and not that Trump has any reason right now to go against Tuberville. But more recently, and maybe it's because he's running for governor, he has kind of taken some stances against, well, at least portions of the Big Beautiful Bill. And now if Trump decides to go into Iran, Tuberville has already said he's kind of hesitant.
Yeah. I don't know. What is Tommy Tuberville going to lose a Trump endorsement?
No,
anytime soon. I don't think so. But is Tommy Tuberville going to lose a Trump endorsement for governor, would it even matter
if Tommy
Tuberville did? It's to me, you know, all this discussion about this, it's just kind of like two guys maybe have a slight difference of opinions.
Yeah. I hate to run past this moment in time because it's so crucial, but as a political analyst, you can look at this and say, well, what's going to, how is this all going to sort out later? Those who spoke against Trump, and depending on what he does, I have no idea what he's about to do.
No one knows what he's going to do.
The headline is "What's next?" Basically, and it's everyone's watching.
Yeah, and you know, how surprised will we be if the U.S. really does, you know, lend some kind of assets to this? I wouldn't be surprised.
No,
I think, you know, and it just seems like, it, you know, they've been pulling it lately. And they asked a question like this, guys, you know, do you support Donald Trump's handling of it? And so much Trump supporters are going to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, hey, do you think the U.S. should be launching bombing strikes on Iran? I wonder what that would be like.
Good question. No kidding.
And Trump's done it before, that's for sure. Coming up, Jeff Porcio, Baron Coleman, Joey Clark with News Talk 93.1, and Fairhope Mayor running for re-election, Sherry Sullivan. We're looking forward to it, Jeff.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Jeff Porcio Show is next. Dan and Dalton, tomorrow, beginning at 6 a.m., right here, FM Talk 106.5.